Hello and welcome to another episode of the Monday Mile podcast. Today we're in central London, in the heart of Mayfair, no less. And I have to say, probably one of the finer locations we've started the mile. And that's because we are with a master of the culinary world, known best as host of MasterChef. He's very proudly gone through a drastic weight loss. And today I'm hoping he can share some of his secrets to health and fitness, as well as how he juggles his massively successful TV career. Greg Wallace, MBE, welcome to the Monday Mile podcast.
Good morning, what a pleasure. What, but do we now wander as we chat?
We do go for a little wander, and we're wandering from, I said a prestigious location. Do you just casually stop for brekkie at...
No.
Michel
Roux Jr. doesn't open for breakfast. Neither does he have an all-day buffet, $12.99, eat as much as you like.
I mean, I would be on board with the $12.99 buffet.
But we're filming in there today, you see, which is just a lovely coincidence because me and Michel Roux Jr. are big, big mates, and that restaurant, the Gavroche, I am a regular at. In fact, I've hosted birthday celebration dinners in there, and I've also wedding anniversary dinners in there for a number of years. I'm very much in love with the place.
It's quite the iconic venue. Can you give us a little insight into what filming's going down in there today?
Well, yes, I'm not supposed to give too much away, but it's part of the latter stages of amateur MasterChef, and we want our contestants to learn and take inspiration from undoubtedly one of the best chefs in the country, and that is my mate Michel Roux. I've never met a group of people like the people in that restaurant so skilled in making me fat and drunk. They are absolute masters at it, and it is undoubtedly, unashamedly classic old-fashioned, centuries old classic French cookery. Lots and lots of butter, lots and lots of cream, lots of salt.
You mentioned MasterChef, 20 seasons. Do you ever pinch yourself?
It is quite extraordinary. But then I work with an incredible array of talent there. I mean, those people that make that are really, really good TV makers. The reason it works is, although it's familiar, it's different every time because the contestants are different every time, right? So it's always different, but at the same time familiar. And the people that make the TV show, Shine and David Ambler in particular, who's the boss, they slightly change the format each time as well. So it looks different watching it, but it's also different for the contestants, so they can't ever quite figure it out. No one ever really knows what's coming next. Also, if you watch it, it's really clever in that every single program works as a standalone program. You don't have to invest in a whole series to enjoy an episode.
Delve in and have a little indulgence.
Every single episode will work as a standalone program.
Nice.
You don't have to, because with a series normally, you have to be invested from the start to the beginning.
Yeah.
But with MasterChef, you don't. You can come in and out. And by the time you get to the end, you go, oh, I remember him, or I remember her. Oh, I don't like her. Oh, I loved him. Do you see?
Yeah.
You don't have to watch. And I think that's really very clever.
Now, the TV world is fairly intensive. We've met you this morning. Early starts, long days, and MasterChef has kind of got the triple threat going on. You've got all the different types of MasterChef. How do you find a balance within such a hectic lifestyle?
Well, yeah, you're right. I'm the only person that does all three, MasterChef, celebrity, amateur and professional. And that pretty much is 8 months of my life. So where do I find a balance? Well, it's tilted very much towards television. But my day, 7 days a week, believe it or not, starts at around 5 a.m.
That's really early for 5 days a week. That's
seven.
7 days a week.
7 days a week. I've got an investor in an online business, and he said, wow, he said, I thought I worked hard. He said, I've never seen anybody that works quite like you do, Greg. So I do 7 days a week, 5 a.m. to 8 p.m. Even on holiday, I'll work. I can't help myself.
Are you a workaholic?
Well, I think you'd have to ask Mrs. Wallace, my Anna. I think she would say I was, but I'm happy that way. It has got to a point where I want to start easing off a little bit. I'm nearly 60. But in my day's very well scheduled. In my day is time for me. It's not all work. There will be gym, there will be a swim, reading, having a nap, going for a walk, importantly. So I do schedule good stuff in. And I'm in bed every night at 8.
8 o'clock? You're not missing out on the party?
Yeah, well, how old are you, if you don't mind me asking?
I am 32.
Right, okay. Well, I was 32 when I was your age. And it's very different. 32.
I was pre-warned about some dad jokes. Was that the first one?
Yeah, almost. I mean, a 32-year-old Greg Wallace or a 32-year-old Amy is going to be very different to a 59-year-old one.
True.
So I don't feel I'm missing out on anything. No. I say this to people all the time. This sitting on the sofa, which seems to be like the best of British pastimes, what's that all about? People go, well, it was 7 o'clock till I sat on the sofa. Go, well, what was so brilliant about sitting on the sofa?
Actually always wondered that myself. People often say to me, oh, you should chill out more, take some time for you. But for me, time for me is nourishing my body, looking after myself, wallowing on the sofa and indulging in whatever it might be. I don't actually feel it serves me.
I work with people and try and look after their health and particularly their weight. And sitting on sofas, eating really unhealthy snacks seems to be almost an addiction, a British pastime that's seriously got to be addressed. Sitting on sofas, eating chocolate biscuits and chocolate bars is just causing an incredible crisis in obesity in this country. That and takeaways is causing some serious issues. So sitting on the sofa, I'll tell you what, let me tell you this, right? I've coached people one-on-one, free of charge for 3 years.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to learn more about people's issues. That's why I did it for 3 years. And I've had incredible success. And I start off when I coach people, and I don't charge them, not asking them what they eat, but asking them what their lifestyle is. And I say to them, so you're busy? Yes. Everybody thinks they're busy. Yes, I'm really busy. Go, how many hours a day do you work? Well, 8 hours. 5 days a week? Yeah. I go, don't worry about the weekends, but 8 hours a day. Yes, 8 hours and I'm busy. What about travel? Well, half an hour each way. Okay, so 9 hours a day is taken up with travel and work. Yes, I'm busy. Go, and do you sleep 8 hours? Well, it'd be nice to. Well, imagine you did. Go, well, that's 17 hours. You go, so what's happening to the other 7 hours each day in your day? And they go, I'm sorry? You go, well, what's the, if you work eight, travel one, sleep eight, that's 17, there's 24 hours. What's happening to the other 7 hours in your day? They go, nobody knows. And that's where I start. I go, there is more than enough time in your day to make yourself proper food.
That's so true.
Nobody knows where their day goes. Nobody knows what makes up their day. My day is broken down into, in the smallest bit, half an hour chunks. Every bit of my day is mapped out.
Have you always done that?
No.
Or has that changed?
No, I've never done that. I don't know when I started doing that. I actually don't know when I started doing that, but I realised pretty quickly that that for me was the way to happiness.
So scheduling, and what part of that made you happy? Is it because you're allowing yourself time for you within that?
Very good question. That's the whole point, isn't it? What do you want to happen in your day, in
your
life?
You choose the narrative. Nobody else can change or choose that for you.
I'm not suggesting to people that they fill it up like I do with work, but what do at least know what it is you've got that you're playing with. And what do you want to put in it? I'll give you an example. My son, Tom, I'm very proud of him. I love him very dearly.
How old is Tom?
Tom is 29.
Okay.
I said to him, I was going to the south of France with Anna, her mum and dad, baby. And I said, Tom, I've got every restaurant I want to go to, south of France, booked. And the taxis booked, there and back.
He's
I said, what's the matter? He went, well, it sounds a little bit, he didn't say uptight. He said a ruder word than uptight. He said, it sounds a bit uptight to me. I was like, really? I said, what would you do, Tom? He went, no, you just want to be more relaxed, Dad. You want to wander into the town, have a few drinks, look around, and then choose your restaurant. I was like, I see. So I sat in this piazza in France, in one of the nicer restaurants, watching couple after couple, family after family, being turned away from that restaurant because they hadn't booked. I then watched them cross the square to try to get into one of the other nicer restaurants and get turned away from there. And I watched this happen every 5 minutes. My son's attitude does not work. My approach worked. If you want to have the best time, if you want to be eating in the best places, if you want to, you have to plan. You have to schedule.
I love a plan and a schedule. So I really, really resonate with that. But how about allowing time for spontaneity within the schedule? Do you format that into the plan? So for example, I'm gonna use running. This is one of my best examples. Say you wanna go for a little jog. If you don't put a time cap on it, or you put a larger time cap on it, it gives you the freedom to go on a run that might take you somewhere new, or you might have more freedom within that to stop, walk a little bit, explore where you are. And the whole narrative of the run changes because there's no time pressure. You haven't only got 30 minutes. So in, say, that schedule, when you're going out for a drink or a dinner, would you allow time within that to go and be spontaneous and maybe find somewhere new?
You won't find somewhere.
You'll
get, if it's any good, you'll get turned away. That was my point.
Right.
If a restaurant's any good, it's full.
Okay.
All right. I mean, you won't find somewhere unless you go out of hour. You unless you turned up for dinner at 5:30,
you can't
turn up for dinner at 7:30, 8:00. It'll be full of locals or full of tourists. But the spontaneity, yes. If you want to go on a half an hour run, most certainly put an hour in your day. If you want to spend an hour over dinner, most certainly put 2 hours in.
That's fine.
Okay. Yeah, that's absolutely fine. It doesn't have to be to the minute. In fact, it won't run to the minute.
Okay.
But the whole point of doing this is not to be uptight. It's to make sure that what's important in your life actually happens for you.
Yeah, it's optimizing.
Otherwise, it won't. All the time that people think their life is chaos or chaotic, it will remain chaotic. The busier you are, the more planning you need. So I work with nurses, and they go, "Well, I do night shifts." I go, "Well, it's still work." "Yeah, but I work at night." "Yes, but it's still the same hours of work."
"Yeah."
"Well, yeah, but..." I go, "Well, okay, so you're busy. You now need more organisation, not less organisation."
Yeah.
"Where are your meals going to happen? If you don't do any planning at all, you're going to be taking another crap chocolate bar from the vending machine."
When did this realisation come for you? Because you wouldn't automatically reach for a chocolate bar now.
The realisation of people's schedules, my schedules, planning, eating, which be specific for me. I'm not very
eating.
Bright.
Eating.
Ah, right. Okay. Well, I lost 5 stone and I didn't do it by dieting. I did it by eating more food than I've ever eaten before, but I did it by eating better food than I'd ever done before. I realised that diets didn't work. I tried them all. I was an expert on diets. They don't work. They don't work because you can't maintain them. They get harder and harder to do the longer and longer you continue, and they rely on willpower, which doesn't work. You can't keep it up. But learning how to eat healthily, that is something you can maintain. Eating great big portions of food. People say to me regularly, "Well, where do you find the willpower?" I go, "Why would I need willpower to eat oats, mango and yogurt with maple syrup?"
"Well, yeah, that sounds delicious."
Exactly. Why do I need willpower to eat sausage, mash, onion gravy and cabbage at lunchtime? Why would I need willpower to do that? Why do I need willpower to eat a grilled fish, new potatoes and spinach in the end? Where's the willpower?
But the question is, where's the willpower not to eat the rubbish when it's presented in front of you, when you've had long days, you're exhausted and you're tired? Where does that discipline come from?
Again, don't need discipline. The reason I don't want the crap chocolate bar or the obesity bar or the crisp, the obesity bag.
I like that, obesity bar.
The reason I don't want the obesity bar and the obesity bag is I'm not hungry. I'm having breakfast, lunch and dinner. The secret to weight loss is not to be hungry. People think it's about being hungry and eating less. No, it's not. It's about not being hungry and eating more. Just eating the right stuff. Why do you think we didn't have obesity issues like this 50 years ago? It's because everyone made their food.
Because we didn't have takeaways.
We didn't have takeaways
on hand, especially in cities in London and New York and LA. Everything's so accessible. Now these apps where you can get food delivered to your door within 10 minutes.
But that's a major issue. That's a major, major issue. Listen, I'm not Sherlock Holmes. I'm not particularly clever, but even I can see, and you can clearly see, a link between the growing obesity crisis, and it is a crisis, and the rise of snack and takeaway culture. The two of them are going hand in hand, obviously. And all the time we believe that we're too busy to cook, it's going to continue. We are just playing into the hands of big multinational companies that don't care. And we're eating worse and worse food all the time. Now, people say to me regularly, "I don't have time to cook." And I never want to embarrass them, but I instantly know they don't know how to. Instantly know they don't know how to.
You can cook, like last night I had tuna steak. It's like 6 minutes.
There you go. There you go.
It actually would take me longer to choose on a delivery app.
There you go.
What I wanted, or what was healthy, because you not really going to find much.
I could put overnight oats together in a fridge in less than 10 minutes for my breakfast. I could make a waffle sandwich with mozzarella, chicken and tomatoes and make up the waffles in less than 10 minutes
You're
to take to work.
You're making me hungry, Greg.
Listen, I can... Frozen spinach in a pan with a little bit of butter, tinned potatoes and grilling a fish should take less than 10 minutes.
Yeah.
So, but people don't know that because nobody in the country knows how to cook anymore. So they all think you have to spend hours in the kitchen. So they all say, I don't have time to cook because they don't know how to cook. If there's one thing I do more than anything else is I teach people to cook. First of all, I work out where the time is in their day. That's the first thing I do. The next thing I do is teach them to cook. And I have had such extraordinary successes. I've got one lady, she's like a pin-up girl for me. She's lost 12 stone.
Wow.
In 2 years. She's basically lost a Greg Wallace. She's lost a Greg Wallace in 2 years.
That is ridiculous. That is so ridiculous. That must fill you with an immense sense of purpose.
Yeah, I'm also nervous for the nation. I'm also nervous for the NHS and the cost. This is getting very serious, isn't it? And the cost to the nation of rising obesity, heart disease, cancers, kidney issues, liver issues, knee joints, hip joints, fertility issues, and the cost to the NHS of picking up the bill and trying to cope with a nation that's making itself more and more unwell on a week by week basis through its food choices.
So
didn't expect this about me, did you?
Whoa.
No. Your grandchildren are going to drive past Trafalgar Square one day.
Yeah.
And there's going to be a statue of Greg Wallace in a toga holding a pineapple because he saved the nation.
I think you're on the right trajectory there. I'm not even joking. So when it comes to your routine, where do you find the time to fit in the cooking, or is the preparation a big part of that?
Well, I'm away a lot. When I'm at home, I live with my wife and my mother-in-law, and both of them, they're Southern Italians. They choose not to work, and they both cook really well. So I don't do a great deal of cookery. I normally just cook for the family once a week.
Nice.
But if I was on my own, then as well as the going for a walk, as well as the having a swim, as well as going for a gym, as well as taking some time out to read every day and have a nap, there would be the time to shop for the week's ingredients, and there would be the time to cook the meals. It would all be scheduled. It would happen.
Do you enjoy cooking?
I love to cook. I love to cook. I like to listen to ABBA.
Oh yeah.
Or
which
Elvis.
Song?
Well, I really like. I don't know what it's called, and it goes like this: Last night I was taking a walk along the river when I saw him together with a young girl, and made me shiver.
If I know that one.
Yeah, I think you might do.
maybe it was just the singing wasn't quite to tone, so.
Yeah, so I like to listen to music and I like to cook. Yeah, I love to cook.
It's a vibe. Bit of creativity.
Well, I've never understood
music.
Why people like the lounge but don't like the kitchen. Why can't you put the things you like in the lounge in the kitchen? So if you like watching telly,
we've got MasterChef on the TV.
Yeah.
We've got the tunes on the radio.
Yeah. What is it? What is it that's in your living room that's not in your kitchen?
A sofa. People like to sit, Greg.
Oh, I see.
It's this
sitting again.
It's not sitting. It's more wallowing. I reckon it's a wallow.
Yeah, but what is that?
All right.
How about this? If you want time on the sofa, schedule it.
Okay.
So that you know exactly how much time you're going to spend on it. I mean, please, everybody, tell me it's not going to be longer than 90 minutes, surely. It can't be 3 hours a night just sitting on sofas. It can't be.
No, you're so right.
It can't be.
It for you, is exercise a non-negotiable? Will it always be in the schedule?
Yeah, I love to exercise. But let me point out right now, weight loss has got nothing to do with exercise.
Okay? It's everything you put in, right?
It's what you eat. Yeah, anyone who does that. People say to me, well, you say that, but you're in the gym 5 days a week. I'm nearly 60 and I've got quite an athletic looking body. I go in the gym to build muscle and not lose weight. I've lost weight before I went in the gym.
Like strength for life though, right?
Yeah. I do weightlifting and a little bit of HIIT with my PT Danny. I love my time with Danny. That's my time. It's what I do.
And do you do that in the gym or do you do it like at home, or how does that?
Depends where I am in the world.
Yeah.
If I'm in London like I am today, then I've been in one of Danny's studios over East London, over Canary Wharf. He's got two studios there. And if I'm in Kent at home, then there's a gym around the corner from me that's in a hotel and a golf club that I use. But wherever I am in the world, I will train with Danny remotely.
Amazing.
So that could be in a hotel gym, or it could be in a hotel bedroom, because you don't actually need any equipment.
And is that a non-negotiable in that it's locked in?
Yeah, the only time I won't see Danny in the morning is if I've been out for dinner the night before.
Because you've been out having a good time.
Because I've been out drinking.
No.
Yeah, and I don't want it. And if I've been out until gone 11, I don't want to be up at 6 exercising.
Now, one of the things that people speak about in general that we all struggle with is balance. Going out, having a
about
few
that?
Drinks.
Oh,
yeah,
I see. No,
that's not bad.
No, actually, I'm not
for an eye on near 60-year-old. Oh, yeah, we'll have that. Through your platform, Greg Wallace Health, how do you install and help share your motives around finding that balance? Because it is tricky, and people, I like to enjoy myself, but how do you sort of bounce back from that?
I always say to people that being good most of the time is good enough. That's what I say to people. This is another reason why diets don't work. The idea on January the 1st, you are going to change your life completely, never have a drink again, never have a chocolate bar, never have a donut, is so unrealistic. I don't even know why people attempt it. But if you say to yourself instead, which is what I preach, I'm going to right now make an effort to be the best version of myself.
Yeah.
And fully in the knowledge that I'm going to have a wobble every now and again, but that wobble will not mean the end of my journey. So, right, we are walking through the park. See that big wheel over there?
Yeah.
Let's say we're on our way to that big wheel. Now, if we jog, we'll get there really quickly.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same as our weight loss journey, all right? It's not whether we'll get there or not. It's how long do we want it to take. So if we jog over there, we'll get there really quickly. If we stroll like this, it'll take longer, but we'll still get there. If we decide on the way to sit down, have a burger and a couple of pints of beer,
it's going to take a really long time.
It'll take longer. But it doesn't mean we won't get there.
We'll still have a great time.
And we're still on our way to being healthy.
Yeah.
This is the problem with diets. People go, right, I'm going to be good. I'm going to be good. I'm going to be good. Oh, I've been naughty. It's all over. No. I'm going to try to be better. Oh, I slipped up. Okay, what can I learn from that? Yeah. Oh, I slipped up again. That's okay. Because 5 steps forwards and 3 steps back is still 2 steps forward. It's not about revolutionary.
That is such a positive trajectory. Like, you're always moving towards the goal.
You're always moving towards it. And it's never will you get there or not. Never, ever, ever. It's simply, how long do you want it to take? How fast do you want to do it? Or do you fancy the odd takeaway? Do you fancy the odd pint? Do you fancy the odd chocolate bar? Okay, just know when you've done that, your weight loss is going to slow, maybe even stop. And if you carry on doing it, it's going to go into reverse.
Spike.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean that you can't continue. Right, okay, let's look at it this way. Let's say you and I, on January the 1st, we decide to go on a journey, a train journey, and we're heading to Fit Town.
Fit Town.
Right, that's where we're going.
Where's Fit Town?
Wherever you want it to be. Right,
we go. The Maldives.
No, not on a train.
Oh,
you've got to
cross
the Indian Ocean. But you and I are on a journey, a train journey. That's our perfect body, right? Fit Town is our perfect body.
Okay.
Right? 2 weeks in, 10 days in, you and I go out, have a curry, sink 2 bottles of rosé wine, come back and eat half a Victoria sponge cake, right?
Yeah.
Now.
Sounds about right.
Now listen. What we do the next day is really important.
Okay.
What we did last night isn't important.
Leave it behind.
Now, what we did on our journey is last night we had to change trains. Okay, what we did last night was got on the wrong train.
We got on the heavier train.
We thought we were going to Fit Town. We are now on a train to Regretville.
Yes.
What we do next is vitally important.
Okay.
Do we stay on that train or do we get off at the next stop and get back on the right one? Does that make sense?
I think.
It's not what you did the night before when you got on the wrong train. It's whether you continue on the wrong train or you get off.
But what's so hard, Greg, is once you get on the wrong train and you indulge in some of these addictive foods, it's quite hard to get back off. So what say to people?
All I just say to people is what I've just told you about the trains.
Just get off it.
Just get off the train.
But that's not easy. That requires a certain type of mindset.
Yeah, the correct one.
Okay.
It's not that hard.
What is your mindset towards health?
Oh, me right now, I need to make an adjustment in my life. I'm at one of those crossroads again.
I'm actually at a crossroads as well.
Yeah, I'm...
But I did the gym at 6 a.m. and that, for me, sets me up well to make good decisions.
Oh no, as I'm getting older, I need to consider how much time I put into work.
Okay.
And I'd like to put more time into me, even though I still put quite a bit. I now want to understand and embrace yoga. I want to understand what that's about.
Yoga is.
Yeah, I want to sleep better.
The one.
Yeah, I want to, that's, but I need more time in my day to embrace these things. Since I have found health and fitness and well-being 8 years ago, now as I'm approaching 60 and thinking about my old age, I want to embrace health even more, but I need the time. So I'm going to have to make an adjustment in my work-life balance. What are you aiming at the ripe age of 32?
32. More work, but balanced with health and fun. For me, the key to everything I do is enjoyment. Mm. And throughout that, that helps me make better decisions when it comes to my health. And I know I'm a better version when I commit to something. So whether it's setting a goal and doing half a marathon, or whether it's to be more flexible and do more yoga, all of those little goals give you a purpose.
Yeah. I'm really into Greg Wallace Health and we're seeing huge success. So I want to spend more time on that because it actually helps people. But I want to spend even more time looking after me. That's what I want to do.
That's wicked to recognise that.
I said to Mrs. Wallace, my Anna, I'm madly in love with my wife and so much positivity has come since I met her. I said to her, because she likes to paint, and I said to her, would you be happy if we just sort of rented an apartment somewhere in a Tuscan hill town and you painted all day? She went, absolutely.
That sounds magic.
I said, what, all day? She went, absolutely. I would. You would be really happy painting all day. She went, Greg, it would be marvelous. I went, would you be happy if I then just played strategy war games on my laptop and read history books? She was like, yeah. I said, while you paint, I can just play war games and read history books. She went, absolutely. I went, Anna, I think you may have just completely and utterly revolutionised our holidays. I think our holidays are about to get cheaper and cheaper, where we've worked out exactly, for the first time in like the 10 years we've been together, exactly what it is we both want from a holiday.
Sometimes simplicity is the key, in food and in life.
Oh, definitely in food.
How important are the relationships of those around you? Because I see you're quite good mates with Greg James, often on his radio show. How did that bond come about?
Yeah, so really unlikely. It's one of the newspapers picked up and said, is anyone aware of the unlikely relationship between these two Gregs? He was a big fan, or is a big fan, of Inside the Factory.
Ah.
And he was the one who also discovered buttery biscuit base. So he started playing that when he was doing Drive Time. And then he started using Greg Wallace jingles. And then he invited me up to the radio station. And we did Inside the Radio Station. And when I turned up, he was wearing a hairnet, like I do Inside the Factory.
Unreal.
And then we realised that, now, he's a big cricket fan. He also likes his rugby. I love my rugby. And then I started watching cricket. So we also now regularly meet together in international cricket matches as well.
Oh, that's wicked.
Yeah. I drink more beer than he does. But then his dad is also a Bath rugby fan who likes a beer as well. So there's just natural synergy, I think. Beer, sport, media.
Top draw. How important are those friendships in your life, in the profession that you have, in the public eye?
I'm a massively strong family man. People don't realise, but I was a single parent. I got custody of my kids when they were 8 and 10. They're now 29 and 27. I run Greg Wallace Health with my daughter Libby, who's 27. My son Tom is on his way to being a chartered accountant. I'm very, very proud of the pair of them. And I spend a lot of time with the pair of them. I've got a little baby boy, Sid, 4 years old, very autistic. I just lost my father-in-law, Massimo. Rena lives with us. The family thing is a big thing. We have a really nice, we're lucky, we've got a big country family home, and that is the epicenter of my world. And at the middle of that, completely in charge of all of it, is the absolute unsung hero in all of this Greg health and fitness personal journey, is my Anna. She's the instigator for all of this change. And if you met Anna, she's little, Italian, very unassuming, very quiet, hates the spotlight, and is an absolute powerhouse of strength. I can't sing her praises enough. She's the epicenter of this whole family, this young Italian woman who came into my life accidentally 10 years ago.
Is that what you fell in love with? The powerhouse, the drive?
I didn't know that, no. To be honest, it was pure animal. I just really fancied her.
When I first animalistic saw her. Instincts.
Yeah.
She was fit.
I just looked at that pretty face, those huge eyes. She was just a really warm, open, honest person. She was so easy to be with. And then as we spent more and more time, I realised what a strong character she actually was.
Does she like a schedule? Are you guys both on that vibe?
Yeah, it's a southern Italian house. I mean, she'll sit there with her mum in the morning over coffee and fruit, and they'll just divide up the day. between them, right?
Nice.
You know, yeah.
So is that a newer thing for you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Talk to me a bit about your boy, Sid.
Oh, he's absolutely beautiful. And he's really cuddly. And, you know, he lives in a home where his default position is to hug, because that's the home no one's ever told him off. No one's ever shouted at him. He doesn't speak. He's still in nappies. He's 4 years old. I think he's beautiful. And he's cuddly and he's fun. He communicates as best he can. And we have to learn as fast as we can about his communication. Yes, we'd like him to talk. He may never talk. So we're going to have to learn what his feelings are and how he communicates those feelings and wants. That's our responsibility. That's our responsibility.
Does he inspire and motivate you?
Very much in that, because I'm so much older than Anna, I don't have to just save money for my retirement. I need to make sure that there is more than enough money for Anna and little Sid for when I'm not there. So that's a huge motivating factor.
Does that scare you?
Not in any way. No, I'm up for the challenge. I'm up for the challenge.
That is ace.
I see it as a huge privilege that Anna came into my life. And I take my responsibility for looking after her and the family very, very seriously. If she put all that trust in me, I'm not going to let her down, and I haven't so far.
That is beautiful. Does that and has that inspired you to be a healthier version of yourself for longevity so you can be there?
I never thought about it like that. It was purely a selfish thing to just look better and better and better. I never thought about that, but yeah.
You're looking good, Mum. Look at the suit. Very dapper.
Yeah, I just wanted to look back. Actually, Anna said, these weights that you're doing, I don't like the veins. Can we, don't get more veiny. I don't like the veins.
That's meant to be a good sign. That's...
Well, it is. It's a sign that your fat content's going down, isn't it?
Yeah.
So the skin.
Vasoconstriction, vasodilation.
Hey, you're good at this stuff.
When you can see the veins, we're on the right trajectory.
But yes, I do want to be fit enough and well enough to continue to be there with Sid and Anna and to be able to play with Sid.
Mr. Greg Wallace, we are coming to near the end of our stroll because you've got to get yourself back in that restaurant for a little bit of filming. However, we do like to ask all our guests what their relationship is like with Monday, the start of the week.
I love Mondays. I love Mondays. I never think on Sunday, oh, Monday's coming, more work. Monday, the start of the week. Let's make a great energetic start. Right, what are we gonna achieve? In fact, I wrote a post-it note on Sunday evening of three things that I want to achieve this week. And I regularly refer to it to make sure they're happening.
Can you tell us what they are?
I'd have to refer to my phone because I took a photograph of it. But I think, because I work with medical experts, it's to make sure their content is on my website and to make sure that they've understood it and I've understood it. That's the big drive. I'm working with a menopause expert. I'm working with a diabetes expert. I'm working with a fertility expert because it all links back to nutrition. So I've got some serious medical professionals. And you know, sometimes I have to pinch myself. I mean, I'm a boy out of a council estate in southeast London. And not only have I had a really lucky TV career, I'm now embarking on helping the nation's health with some serious academics and some serious medical professionals holding my hand. And I'm immensely proud of it.
That is so huge.
Thank you.
When it comes to working on MasterChef and you've got, let's say, the celebs cooking up the odd gammy meal and it's lashing in butter and the proportions are out of whack, do you question yourself as to whether you want to taste it or try it, because your ethos has changed?
Well, yeah, it's interesting because I don't know, rarely do I know what the challenges are when I come in the morning. So they go, Greg, you're going to love this. We've got a puddings challenge. You go, there's nine of them.
Nine puddings?
There's not going to have to taste nine puddings. Yeah, well, listen, you control in your life what you can, right? And remember also, I'm not eating all of those plates. I'm only taking a mouthful.
Just a little nibble.
Yeah.
It's not going to hurt anyone. And lastly, Greg, do you have any life mottos or quotes that you live by that you can share with our listeners?
Yeah, make friends with everybody, whether you like them or not.
Oh, so shall we be friends?
Yeah, absolutely. It's all about sincerity. And if you can fake that, you got it made.
Ooh.
Just go out of your way, not to be over-friendly, but not to be unfriendly. You don't know where people you're coming across. You don't know where they are going to be in a few years' time. You don't know when you might need somebody's help. So just get ready every day to just be friendly and get on with everybody. There is no reason
like
not to.
just be nice?
Well, not fake, not false, just friendly.
Friendly.
Polite.
Okay. I've onboarded that.
Okay.
Greg Wallace, thank you so much for joining us on the Monday Mile Walk and Talk podcast, taking an hour out of your day to join us on this glorious sunny stroll in Mayfair, Hyde Park. I believe you've got to get back to work, but thank you for sharing your insight, your positivity. Without a doubt, I'm definitely going to try getting back on the three meals a day vibe, because I think that is the thing. Back to the old-fashioned ways of eating.
I thoroughly enjoyed that, going for a stroll and chatting.
It's but, cool, isn't it?
Yeah, but mostly I just chatted about me. Is that okay?
This is a podcast about you. Monday Mile listeners, I really hope you enjoyed that one. You know what to do. Do make sure you subscribe. The audio will be dropping at 12 a.m. every single Monday morning for the early risers, to inspire you to get up with us and walk and talk. Monday Mile, it is a wrap. Woo!